Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Aaron Gretsch, News Editor.
Miles Andrews-Dubay, Sports Editor.
Jessica Baker, Opinions Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. Thanks for joining us today, guys. Cool. Today we're going to be talking about the president of Ghana who spoke at UCR recently, as well as the dining cuts and our new athletic director here at UCR. So first, I guess we'll get started with the president of Ghana. Who went? I went. All right, cool.
I did not go.
I was in bed sleeping.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got some great videos up about it and also an article in the newspaper. So I guess, Aaron, what did you enjoy most about the speech?
I really liked just how he discussed the major role that technology has played throughout and how that's changed kind of the social atmosphere in Africa and with many African Americans, in the diaspora. Because I guess even indirectly, while they haven't been directly displaced, but throughout history they are kind of part of that movement as well, and he kind of included them to be part of that. And I thought it was really cool. Just he covered a lot of topics, just stereotypes between Africans and African Americans and how they're portrayed in the media and how, they kind of carry, sometimes if the media isn't careful, they can carry these negative connotations a lot of times. I know the New York Times was guilty of this. They said, what was it? Oh, Michael Brown was no angel, for example. That was right. One of the things that, really, while it's just a phrase that wasn't that intelligent, carried a lot of weight and really kind of hurt the perception of African Americans in the U.S. So I kind of liked how he really kept the media accountable for their role in portraying stereotypes, and also kept the people accountable as well for believing in those stereotypes that aren't true a lot of the times. So that's what I liked a lot too, and how technology kind of breaks that down. I mean, like you said, he would have never known who Sandra Bland was if it wasn't for the web, if he couldn't pull it up on his phone in Ghana. Who knows how it would have been had history gone differently, or how had the internet not been developed at that point in time. So I have a lot to say, sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, I really enjoyed that as well. And how he was saying, he would have never known. And also it's bringing together, I guess, African-Americans as well as Africans, because it's kind of like he said in his speech, he was saying how a lot of African-Americans view Africans as primal and they, as well as everyone else in America, just see, I don't know, those commercials where they just think all Africans live in huts and that kind of stereotype. And then Africans kind of think African Americans are lazy and violent, things like that. And with media and different things, there are stereotypes that can be portrayed that just isn't healthy for both parties. But also, like you said, it can bring together a lot of awareness about things like Sandra Bland and Michael Brown and things like that. And we just get to connect with each other on a wider scale. I also liked when he talked about women and girls getting their education in Africa and how they need to keep that going. And it's getting better, but he was also saying that they need to make sure that they keep getting their education. He was saying a lot of girls start getting their education and then they're pulled out of schools and married off, which is awful, because he said they're doing well and everything. So I really liked him talking about that as well. But, yeah.
How cool! I was just gonna comment. How cool was it that he had a minister of gender in Ghana?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
really cool.
Something that we don't even have. So that's.
What does a minister of gender do?
I think they help gender issues.
Seriously.
So
wage disparities and
address those issues.
So
in Ghana.
Door stuff and everything.
And they have a pretty prominent voice in throughout Ghana.
She was. There at the talk, next to the Minister of Education.
Oh, wow.
That shows that it's really developed. I mean, you would never think that, it's here we kind of have this perception that we're really socially advanced in terms, especially a lot of European countries too. They have like there's always this perception that like, you know, European countries
are
more advanced socially, but it's like, you know, Ghana, that's like a real, like a major point. They have a minister of gender. I mean, when are other countries, you know, going to get that?
Because
that's really cool.
Yeah, you were
going to
say
something. Yeah, no, the topic of stereotypes in particular is quite interesting to me because I was in my music class today. That's the one that I couldn't figure out that I was in this morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We were talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so I was in my music class this morning. And the topic was minstrelsy itself. And just looking at the stereotypes that were sort of portrayed there, it becomes kind of an interesting to look at, you know, how they've become, I don't want to say a part of our daily life, but a lot of stereotypes themselves have somewhat been embedded in every single one of us, I think, in our mindset that I think we're all guilty of that to an extent. So hearing that same thing sort of perpetuated over there in Ghana, from their perspective of us and our perspective of them is really interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely. Actually, the way how I actually catched up on like the President of Ghana news was actually for the UCR Today article that I think like someone from like Highlander formerly from the Highlander.
Shout out to Amy Zahn.
Amy Zahn, you did an amazing article. Inspired me. I really loved it.
Still not as good as mine.
Okay. Anyway, beyond petty gloating. The one thing I really did love, actually, from the highlight of that article definitely was, like, just kind of stating how we should use technology, like, more constructively, definitely. Because, like, even beyond, like, in America and, like, how, people have perceptions in Africa, like, you can see, like, all over the world. Like, I was at an internship in Japan, and I was, like, interacting with, like Japanese high schoolers every single day. Like, I lived with a Japanese high schooler because they were, like, my host family. And every single, like, because I moved around every single week, so I had, like, a new family, so I didn't stay with the same bunch of people. And, like, the one thing they would always ask me, like, it was so insane, but they would always ask me, like, how are Americans, like, are all Americans? I literally had, like, one of my hosts, and actually I had a group of, like, Japanese girls, like, come to me in lunch, ask me, like, why are, like, Americans so fat usually? And, okay, like, for one, you can't just, like, presume all Americans, but, like, that's how, like, in the media in Japan, like, how they've been consuming it. It's just a lot of them have this perception that, like, Americans all have, like, I mean, it's true, we don't have, like, really good dietary, like, we have, like, a really severe problem of obesity in this country, but, like, it's not all Americans. They literally ask, like, aren't all Americans, like, obese or, like, don't have, like really terrible...
Literally... Oh, like, that's, there's no...
Yeah, and they were really, like, very, really into that. I'm just be like, dude, okay, for one, like, I'm American.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah. But also, I don't want to say, like, I'm the representation of everybody, but, like, just saying this whole, like, notion of, like, all, or just kind of, like, even thinking of saying, like, all, just like, all Americans.
Absolutism.
Yeah, I mean, even in your own wording, like, even if you understand, like, the wording itself is, like, not true, like, just kind of using that same wording actually might embed that kind of, like, thinking in the mind. But it was, I asked him, like, where did you get this? And she said, like, oh, no, we were just, like, on Facebook, or, like, they have something in Japan. They don't really use Facebook all too much, but they have something called Line. And, like, a lot of the media online, like, displayed Americans like that, apparently. And I'm just like, oh, this is so weird. Or they went on Yahoo, because apparently in Japan, they don't use Google, they use Yahoo a lot. A lot of the media that they saw this kind of represent Americans like that, or... And I was just very, very shocked. And it was just really weird. Or a lot of the times they would talk about, like, to all the American, like, international students, they'd just be so shocked to learn things. Because, like, they'd be like, I've never heard about this before. And these are girls who had, like, they were born in, like, 1999 or something like that. And they all had phones. Like, a lot of them had phones since they were 13. So, like, they are used to the internet and phones and everything like that. But even, like, with an access of the internet from such a young age, like, I didn't get my first computer until I was, like, 14. All these girls have, like, these weird, like, perceptions already. I'm just be like, and it's not their own fault. It's just they're consuming media,
right.
And it's not the most fundamental ways.
Definitely. And toddlers have, like, iPads and, like,
yeah, no, have you seen that one thing where, like, a baby can, like, tries to swipe a magazine? You're just be like, why are you swiping a magazine? Because
yeah.
They're so used to swiping a tablet.
Wow.
But I don't know. I guess we need to teach, like, people, like, when they're younger age, like, to consume, like, just, they should consume media. They should still use technology, but consume it in a healthy way. Like, be able to distinguish or something like that.
Yeah, it's just how, I don't know how you find that balance when it becomes more so a necessary part of daily life. I mean,
right? Yeah, like,
and it's kind of hard to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible, maybe. You know, down the line.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Like, sometimes with different social media, it's like, maybe I don't want to have an Instagram or I don't want a Facebook. It's kind of like, now even for work or, like, groups in school and things, like, you know, you have a group on Facebook or, like, people through work contact you with, like, different things. And it's just, like, I feel like I have to have it even if I don't want
right.
necessarily.
Yeah, it's all consuming, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So his speech was great, I think. But Yeah, now we're going to switch on over. Dining is making cuts to students' meal plans, student workers, from $10 to $5. Very controversial. A lot of students aren't happy about it. What do you guys think about the cuts?
I mean, after speaking with Cheryl Gardner, it does make sense, you know, business-wise to, like, a certain extent. But, like, the main concern is I think they need to definitely talk to the students that work for them a lot more and, like, you know, really communicate with them. Because I think, like, you know, when you do that, especially for the students that have been working there for a long time, they kind of feel cheated, like, you know, from a certain extent. It's like, oh, this is, like, the one perk that we had, and now it's taken away. And, like, you guys will see next week, we don't really have any representation or any really say over this, you know, over their employment. Like, yeah, there are certain, like, you know, guards, like, you can't just, like, fire someone just to, like, fire him. Like, obviously, like, that's legal. But, you know, it's just, it's work, you know, it's a minimum wage job. It's not exactly the, like, the greatest thing in the world. Like, I'm speaking as, like, a person that's worked at, like, you know, varying levels of it, but it's just, it's tough, you know, like, you get used to, like, I mean, you had a free meal once, and now you don't, now you're gonna have to pay for that out of pocket, and, it gets difficult, sometimes when you have to balance between rent and groceries, and, you know, we've all been in that boat, you know, it's
definitely.
Like, you know, eating, you know, off-brand cereals, like, from the bags, like,
oh,
instead
yeah.
of, like, you know, the
yeah.
regular bag. But those cereals, like, they do taste exactly the same. I've tried it. I've been eating it for, like, over
a
year
now. No,
that's
true. Off-brand, like, yeah.
same thing.
Don't even worry
There's
about it, guys.
Like, it's only, like, if you get the one brand, you just be like, I guess you're cool.
Yeah, you need to get the iced flakes instead of the frosting.
You need to get the Oreos instead of the Cheerios.
The only thing that doesn't work for is cheese.
Oh, that's true.
And I guess, like, certain brands of meat. I always get turkey, though. I'm not too big of a ham fan, so.
I mean, I don't get meat in general because I just don't want to deal with it.
I'm vegetarian, so.
Okay.
That's the way to go. Like, you save a lot of money. Well,
actually, no.
No, not think about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
I got to buy all my fancy, like, soy meat.
Yeah, that's the worst. And it's, like, hard to find.
Almond milk only.
No, I'm not. But I was a vegan for a year, and I just know the struggle, like, very well.
No, vegan's, like, a big struggle.
That's
too.
A lot
yeah,
harder.
You got no
like
dairy going
major,
on.
A lot harder, yeah. No animal products, like
yeah.
you like I used to be addicted to gummy bears and candy, and you can't have the gelatin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so I'm like, yeah, I have to get gelatin free if I want anything, and that's like a mission in itself to find. So yeah, I know the struggle, but
yeah.
What you were saying is interesting. You said the business side of things, like, how does that make sense on the business side? Because I didn't hear that aspect.
Well, like, it was costing, I think, about, like, $3.30, that's what she was telling me, per meal, like, every time. And, like, they do employ a ton of students. That's, like, what people
like,
make.
You said, like, 2-3%, like, they hire,
yeah.
like, 900 students, right?
Yeah, they have, like, she told me that, like, originally that they hired 900 students, like, in the past, and that they're planning, currently, they're trying to hire 800 this quarter because a lot of people graduated, people quit, and, like, people get fired. So they do so they do hire a lot of people. So like it makes sense. Like you're gonna have to give like every one of those people or like
right,
you're gonna
like,
want a meal, right? Because like yeah, we're all gonna want free food. I mean, but at the same time, like the main concern was like, well, they're throwing out a lot of food, you know, and I kind of understand why they have to. I mean, legally, like they have to throw out like a lot of food. I mean, I hate to say it, it's like it sucks for everything, but like to meet USDA standards, like food can only stay like there for a certain amount of time. And, like, you do end up wasting it a lot, though, too. And, like, instead of conserving it, like, I guess the issue isn't, like, they're not really conserving it well enough, you know, anticipating, you know, how it's going to go.
Actually, I have a question. Like, what leftovers do you usually, like, throw away? Like, do they throw away, like...
Like
say
rice.
like you go to ANI and like you work in ANI and like there all the food's like leftover, like all the leftover food that wasn't taken by students or
yeah.
like
yeah a lot of times that
so
like
that,
the food
that
is
can't
yeah
even
if
be
it
used.
Wasn't in yeah if it wasn't warmer yeah usually can't if it's a meat you know it's gone a lot of times rice gone
even rice
yeah rice
oh, wow.
gone like
wow.
thrown out tons of rice
and it can't and, be
wow.
like I mean I, I'm not
pizza like I've cooked so many pizzas like for games and stuff gone. They actually got on top of us because, like, what? Okay, I'm going to admit, this is what I used to do. You're not allowed to do this. I would give out free pizza to people because we wouldn't sell it towards at the end of games.
Oh, that's nice.
Because we'd have to throw it away. Like, and I'm like, and eventually, like, they were telling us, oh, like, you can't take pizzas with you home anymore. And I'm like, I'm just going to take it home still. Like, I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to let myself starve. Like, and just, like, throw it away. And that's how I got really fat, though. Like, admittedly, like, when I used to work for dining, I started slimming down since I quit and started working out. But, like, still, I mean.
I mean, like, actually, I have a question. Has it never been considered? I'm not saying this should be, like, the proposal to solve the whole meal problem. But, like, have they not considered, like, if you're, like, at the closing shift, have they not, like, considered maybe giving the leftover food or, like, allowing, like, the student workers to, like, take the food?
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. But why? I mean, like, why hasn't the, dining services not considered that, like, an option to do? Because, like...
That's, well, you're not supposed to. I think legally they're not allowed to.
But why, though? I don't know.
I don't know.
Mutually beneficial.
Yeah, it does. I mean,
is there, like, a law, like USDA or something like that?
I don't know. It probably there's some bureaucratic thing going on.
Hmm.
But we did it. Like, we stole food, like, after our shifts. Like, that was going to get thrown away. I mean, obviously we were going to steal food from it. Like, I don't know. Now that the new thing's in place, I don't know how... like, on top of it they are, but, like, yeah, everyone stole food from there.
I mean, honestly, that's the kind of what you do when you work at, like, some... I mean, I worked at a Chinese restaurant when I was in high school, and, like, my boss would just be, like, looking at the food, like, do you want to take any of the homes? Like, yeah, we'll take all the home. And, like, none of the food got wasted for that night because I just fed it to, like, my brother who was, like, growing, eating, like, four bowls of, like, chow mein every single night for some reason. But, like, it just makes sense, though, to, like, if you have people who are willing to take in the food, like, why not, like, I don't know. Yeah,
I agree with you, too. I mean, they'd rather, I mean, like, people are, like, that's the complaint. Like, there was a girl that, like, just... ranted to me, like, you know, just like messages. I was reading it off to Crystal too, and like she was angry. She was just like, she had just like this ferocious anger that surpassed even mine, and I was just like, but like she was more angry. Like I'm okay, but like she was just like completely angry. She was like, you know, like they would rather waste it, like buy dumb things, like, you know, fancy decorations when they don't really need it, you know. And that was a problem. And the thing is, it's like, why do you really care about wasting food if you're not supposed to be making a profit off of it in the first place? You're a non-profit. Like, dining services is a non-profit. That's what people usually forget. But, like, if you're a non-profit, why do you care so much about the money? Like, that you're supposed to be giving it back, right? You're not supposed to be making a profit off of this. This is supposed to be a service that the students that are in housing pay for.
Right.
And the workers, you know, kind of get back to it, so...
Yeah, and with the $5 now, apparently that's definitely not enough to even get you anything.
Like, that's not even enough for, like, any of the basic stuff in the hub.
Yeah,
you can even buy tacos. That's sad.
That's... I don't know, students kind of have a tough situation as it is, you know, trying to buy groceries, like you said, paying rent... buying books, and it's kind of like we're already in a situation where in the money area of our lives is we're not doing too hot. And I don't know, I'm sure a lot of students were looking forward to at least having free meal a day.
But no, I think can I say something though? I guess I have the floor apparently. But I think it's like, to me, I don't know, like a free meal, right? Especially if you're a worker, like that should be standard. I don't know why that's in question. That's the biggest problem with me. Like, I don't like the fact that students have to struggle, you know, and wonder. I know it's a common, you know, hungry college student. I know that's pretty much a stereotype in itself.
Well, I mean, that should even be a stereotype.
But it shouldn't
also.
Be. It shouldn't be. Right. And especially if you're working for the school, it shouldn't be a question, right? You know, you're providing food for others, but you can't eat for yourself. There's something wrong with that. And it makes me kind of upset. Like, I just don't like that idea. Being that I think we've all been through that, where we've been hungry, you know. And I know it would, and for you, being that you work there, seeing that you had to sneak your own food out, but you're providing for other people, it's like there's something wrong with that. There shouldn't be that type of correlation.
Yeah. And I remember, Aaron, you mentioning that if you get injured and things like that on the job, it's kind of like good luck to you, you know. Mm. So it's just, I don't know, the entire situation seems pretty difficult for students, and this cut isn't making it any more great for students, but
if anything out of this whole situation, I wish there was kind of, I think we kind of like talked about this like a while ago, but like just some sort of need of transparency or something like that. Like, where are all these, like, since you're doing all these cuts, like, where, I mean, I understand, like, I heard, like, since the UC minimum wage is actually going up, I think by like $1 or something like that, like, that's compensating it. But like, where else is all the money going? Is it all going toward like the student wages? Is it going toward like hiring new management? Like, where is all this going? Because like, I don't know. Like, that'd be really nice to know. Like, where is all? I mean, like, yeah, no, at least for the student, would, the student worker's sake.
Right.
I hope they hire a food truck driver, so a student doesn't have to drive a food truck without a food truck license.
Okay, that's insane, right there. Like, that's
That's the last shade I'm gonna throw.
Okay. But like,
I just needed to put that. I drove a food truck. I drove the Chameleon. Okay. Where is that normal? I don't understand.
I mean, also, it's just ironic. Like, you're like, if they're following some sort of like USDA law where like you have to throw away food because it's like health conscious, whatever, but you're allowing like student to like drive like a whole large truck. The Chameleon's a big truck. Like, that's like ironic. It's like you pick and choose some laws. Like, come on now. Like,
how is that legal?
I can't believe that.
That's crazy.
Okay, but like,
if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android.
Yep. Got that memorized now. Yeah.
Definitely. It's really, all stored.
Really good. Really good, Crystal. I am insanely impressed.
Thank you. Okay. So, here at UCR, we have a new athletic director. Her name is Tamika Smith-Jones.
Tamika.
I'm okay. Sorry.
Yeah, no, okay. I got corrected on that, so I know.
Okay. Actually, Miles will be telling us a little bit more about her. We're going to be...
Yeah, finally. My time to shine, right? I think...
You better sparkle.
It's, it's, you know, speaking of sparkle, that's a good transition because she's really a lively, full of energy, like ball of energy type of person. That's what I heard of her going in. If you read the article, I wasn't sure if that was like a legitimate, you know, if that was a legitimate description of her, but I went in there, walked into her office first thing. It's like she's friendly, she's warm, and she's willing to talk and willing to answer questions. It's going to be interesting for UCR athletics because it's, I think if you've even casually followed it, you know, it's not necessarily a hotbed of success, you would say. And I told her that as well, and she agreed. Knowing that it's not, there's not really a history you can back on and say this is a time where we kind of upped our credibility as a school. And they've been in the Division I, which is the highest level collegiate athletics. They've been in that program for 15 years, and they haven't made a lot of advancements. So they really need someone to come in that seat and show some stability. And they hope it's her. If you don't know, she's also the fourth athletic director in the past 10 years, I believe, to take that seat. So it's been a lot of transition, and it wasn't even like people were getting fired. It was people quitting without much reason or transparency as to why they quit over the past few years. So if she provides some stability, that'll be key for the program. I think she has the will to actually take some action and make some noise, but she has a lot of fire and energy. It's just really, can she stay put and can she act on that? It's going to be interesting to watch. I really want to see because I can't be sure. Like, it seems like it's just the next one up at this point, and who's going to be next after her. That's kind of how I'm looking at it, as great as she is.
Right. Yeah, I heard she's also the first African-American female, right?
First African-American female in, and first African-American and the first female in, UCR athletics director positions. Yes. And that in itself is rare throughout the collegiate athletics in general. I couldn't find numbers on it specifically. It's kind of hard to find, but it's rare. And I know that currently I think she's the 37th female out of the like NCAA landscape to be an athletic director in a Division I program. So that's extremely significant. And I think she's there for a reason. So I don't know. If you read the article, it's like I sounded really, like I was really praising her.
Yeah, I mean, you sounded very optimistic, because, which is good.
Like,
you know?
That's the kind of vibe she gave me. Like, I was just being honest. She gave me that vibe as if
honestly, she gives off that same vibe on her picture too. Because like,
yeah,
that was like, a really good picture too.
No, it was really photogenic. I'm just be like, that's like the right picture you can have for like a presidential campaign or something. Oh
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, the pictures are great. So credit to Vincent on that. I forget the name of the
photographer. Good job.
Excuse me, but great job photography on that.
Very good.
Yeah, and there may be some controversy if I can relay that out here. I think for those who don't know, you know the rec center, right? The basketball court where not only can we play as students, but the basketball team, that's where they play their games as well. So the department wants to, or the basketball team wants to use that specifically or solely for them. They don't like the fact that the students are in there and out of there and that they have to practice on their own accord or be away from what they assume to be their home. And that's something that she kind of told me or relayed to me, that like she wants to get that facility strictly for them. And if not that one, what I was hearing maybe 3-4 months ago was that the head of athletics wanted to either put a new basketball court or gym over by Lot 30 or one over by Canyon Crest. And that creates a whole host of issues because there's the question of how necessary is it, right? Like to have a whole nother basketball court where
I understand like our basketball team is like the premier sport for UCR.
They are, but that's not saying it's resources. A lot. And they are, but it's still at the same time, I don't even think people are filling up the gym here. So it wouldn't make sense to build a whole nother state-of-the-art facility. So I don't know what she plans to do there, because of course students, like I actually go to that court and play pretty often. Students go there, but the team wants that. So building a new court, I don't understand the reasoning for that. It's predominantly not so more academically based schools, and that's just what we are. I don't think we should step outside of that personally.
Yeah, and honestly there's nothing bad about that either, because like research is awesome.
I'm fine with it.
Research is awesome.
Yeah.
We held research oranges
as long as we have our humanities.
Just a quick fun fact, Ivy Leagues are only Ivies because of the sports leagues they're in.
All right. Wow. Well,
I don't know. That was just a random fact.
That's a good note to close it on. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. So this has been the Highlander. I guess I will say keep up in class. Yeah.
See you, Space Cowboy.
I'm still one from you. Insert some Kanye quote here.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's cool. I'm going to close off on Campion's Brag. And this is for Crystal. Finally just ends it. Okay.
All right. Thank you for listening.